your Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light.
Some country folk up in here, it looks like, huh?
No more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Thank you very much. That's beautiful. Hank Williams right there. Awesome. Hank Williams, if you're a fan of Hank Williams, obviously. But Hank Williams Sr., obviously, he was just Hank Williams until he had a son and named him Hank Williams himself. And then he would become Hank Williams Sr. See how that works? Name changes like that. Before that, he was just Hank Williams. But Hank Williams Sr. in that time wrote this song, which completely affected the world as we know it today. But one of the reasons why he was writing a song like this wasn't just because he was a Christian, but during that time, the only way you broke through was you hit these camp meetings and you had these Christian songs that you would write in order to get into these camp meetings. The sad part about it is it no way reflected the fullness of the story for Hank Williams Sr.'s life. Not that I'm not going to say that he wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't know. But as a musician, I know exactly what's going on. When you see the light and it changes your life, it's fantastic. But when that light you see isn't brighter than the light that you're following, you've got a problem. Does that make sense what I'm saying? When there's not a greater light that transcends is the big word, Hope. You got it? Next time you'll remember that one. What's the word? That's very good. Now, Brian would not remember that because he can't remember keep, calm, and pray on. Five words. Very difficult. But transcendent light that changes me completely, almost obliterates the light that I've been following. To the sense that when Jesus comes in my life, I sit back and go, that's it. That's what I've been looking for. I thought it was this. Now I know it's that. And at that point, many of us will sit back and go, I can't believe I used to do this. Because now that's it. But I want us to understand something about transcendent light in that sense. That sometimes light will come for those of us who've maybe lived a very ungodly life. And we will be convicted of the life that we've had. We'll say, how did I ever act that way? How did I ever do these things? But how about when light transcends the good things you're doing in life? How about when light comes up and all of a sudden you go, well, I've actually been a very good person. I've done good things for people. I'm doing these things. I'm following God with everything I've got inside of me. And then all of a sudden, boom, transcendent light. This would be the story of a man by the name of Saul. The man that we've come to know, again, a name change, as Paul. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, the one who would plant the churches in the known world of his time that opened up the entire world of the Gentiles, he and Peter together, but opened up the entire world of the Gentiles that we together who are here today who are not Jewish, and there's a couple of us who are, but most of us would not be where we are if Paul would not have taken the gospel of that transcendent light to that known world. Here's the thing about him. He was not some bar-hopping musician. I can raise my hand to that one, unfortunately. He was a guy whose heart was on fire for God. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And when we think of Pharisees, we think of bad things. But in the day, the Pharisees were the people you went to hear the word of God, to explicate it, to give it to you so that you would understand, give you light, as it were, understanding to who God was and where God wanted to take you. He was that guy. And all of a sudden, he realized something, as Jesus would say earlier, when the blind are leading the blind, what do we do then? He realized he had been the blind. Because for him, his life took on a greater meaning because he saw a greater life that was there. And when Jesus spoke to the people, he said this here, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And as I said to you last week, that wasn't particularly him saying that you're going to be in the darkness of sin. Because sin isn't just doing too much malt liquor on a Sunday morning, Misty. So it's just, sorry. I don't mean to let out our counseling sessions, but that's a joke. It'd have been on Facebook if it was true. So there we go. Bonjour. So in this, we understand that, I've lost myself here, is that Jesus gives us a light that doesn't just take us from sinful attitudes, but helps us discern. And Andrew, discernment is the better choice between good things. Now, any one of us know, should I be with my wife or should I be with my neighbor's wife? Well, that's an easy choice. Unfortunately, you don't always make it, but it's an easy choice. But to sit back and say, should I marry this girl or marry this girl when I love them both and they both are pretty and they both go to the same church? Well, you're in trouble already. There's no right decision. So, but you will need discernment at that, all right? Now, having said that, Jesus is saying, my light is so bright it transcends even the good things of our life and puts us on a road that's there. That's why he said this here, and I read from the voice, I will send a great helper to you from the Father. Who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. Raymond, he's talking about the Holy Spirit is going to be the great helper, the one known as the Spirit of Truth. He comes from the Father, and he's going to point to the truth as it concerns me. And most of us say, well, I know the truth. I know Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and life. I'm in. But if that's all there was to it, then everything would be simple. But it's not so simple. Because every day we're looking, and the Holy Spirit's coming and moving on us, just not to knock us on the ground, or so that we'll speak in tongues, or so we'll prophesy, or get healed. All these are great things. But also just in the basic issues of discernment in my life, to put me on a course that is my life's call. And as a musician who felt that call in my life, knowing where to go and what to do with that was all hinging upon everything I'd ever learned. I'd turn on MTV, so I knew what musicians were supposed to do. They were supposed to get a recording contract, get a video out, get some pretty girls in the video playing guitar, and bammo, you were following God's will for your life. Obviously, that wasn't the truth. But the world sets the paradigm. The world sets the idea of what we feel God's calling us to, as much as it does set the idea of us what God isn't calling us to. And so we must look at that and know what's going on, and we say, come Holy Spirit. Because this conversion of Paul, really, from Saul to Paul, really touches our life in this here. That this was a great man of God long before he met Jesus Christ. And in his zeal, he was having people killed because he loved God. In his zeal, he was making sure Christians were taken out of their homes and put into prison because he loved God. And he wasn't going to have people talking about his God that way. But on that road, something changed. And on that road, hopefully our lives change. On that road, we understand something that the Holy Spirit, which was coming and revealing Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus, is the same one that we've met. And the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus as the true north of our lives. And this point that Jesus is offering us in true north, a compass term, a point of orientation, that all of a sudden this is the worldview, this is the way I look, this is the way I live my life. And for those of you who grew up in Dallas, raise your hand, we won't have you, and you've moved to Houston, the Holy Spirit pointing you towards the Texans is a kind of a shallow idea of that, but you're getting the idea. You've not been reoriented, I know. This weekend, we'll understand. Obviously, it would be much more than things of that nature. God, it's easy for me to see the very sinful attitudes I have in my life. What I'm saying is I want him to come and to move and show me even more than that. Now, here's the point of this. Last week, I really weighed in on this here, is that he's not just coming on you because you're a bad sinner. He's coming to give you a glorious life. Now, by saying that, you have equated relationship with your Father as the one who's come and looked away from you and just poured some blood on you so that you could just be someone he could hang out with a little bit. And every time you go to him, all you think about is what a bad sinner you are and how frustrated you are at your sin. And he's sitting there going, I'm trying to get you to the place where you're in the fullness of your life. And that when you relate to me in intimacy, what I'm trying to get you to do is draw near to me knowing I love you so much I gave my son for you. And then I pursued you. And I've got you. And if I could pursue you when you were the big time sinner, I can certainly get you right here where you are now. John Wimber used to say this here. He said, you know, I've been with the Lord a long time. He was the founder of the Vineyard and a mentor of mine. He said, I've been with the Lord a long time. And I don't have those heinous sins I used to have. He was a drunken sailor, musician, kind of, not a sailor, but musician in Vegas. So you get the idea. Anyone here a drunken musician from Vegas? Get your hand up. There you are. I see you. That's on Facebook. He said, though, the thing is, I feel more convicted now of those attitudinal sins that no one can see than I ever did of the other sins that were heinous. Because I'm closer to God, and he's showing me things to move me out of those attitudes to bring me into that place I can walk with him in the fullness of the kingdom life. That's why I'm saying, come on. But when he comes and that light shines, it shows true north, Raymond. He can't help it. He's just light. He's not there. He's convicting because he loves you and is showing the true light. He's not granddaddy up there going, well, you're just my grandkid. Muss the hair up. Here's another sucker. Knock your life out. Here's a shotgun. Go shoot the neighbor's house. He's not that way. He is one who continually calls us into the greater part of life. So here's the deal. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus as the true north of our life. And I shared with you an idea that I had. It was a little play. The Reverend, Honorable Reverend Sleepy Ray said, you shouldn't put the cart before the horse is what they tell you. But most of us, and rightfully so, have the heart before the course. Meaning the course of life we're taking is that way because our heart is being called to that right there. And I have a heart for something, therefore I follow it. Now, there's been many teachings of philosophy that go on, and I'm not going to go through those, but this is one that really touches me, that telos, that design that I have in my life that is there, pulls me in the direction that I am. I will go the way I look. Where my heart is, there my treasure is also. And so I'm saying, Lord, redefine my heart. Speak to my heart. It's deceitful. I don't always know what it's doing. Speak to my heart that I might be on the course you want. Show me the greater light. You didn't just come to sit back and say, what a horrible person I am. That you came to show me what I was designed for. To set me free from the shackles of rejection, from the shackles of unacceptance. Because the gospel is a word of acceptance, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should have everlasting life. And guys, that just isn't going to heaven and flitting around like an angel. It means today, walking. Yes, wonderful things of eschatology and end time, certainly. But today, I want to walk on that course of life. Are you with me this morning? Now, you say you keep talking about it. Well, I'm going to get it in your head one way or another. Miss Maddie, that's what I'm going to do. So here's the thing. I'll let you read chapter 9 on your own, because we're already kind of there. But as you recall, what's been going on is that Saul is on that way. He's been breathing out murderous threats, as I shared with you, to kill the church on this road to Damascus, where he's going to get these Christians and put them in jail. He sees a bright light. He's knocked down, and he says, who are you, Lord? And he hears Jesus say, this is Jesus, the one you've been persecuting. This is the one. And I want you to get up, and I want you to go to a street called Straight, and there's a guy named Ananias who's going to pray for you. And then this word comes to this guy named Ananias, who's in Damascus, who's afraid of him because he's the guy killing Christians. And God says, I want you to go pray for Saul, and I want you to lay hands on him because he can't see. He's got scales on his eyes, and I want you to pray, and you're going to tell him how much he must suffer for me, meaning what is the course of his life, what he's going to do with his life. And that's where we left off. It's there. So I gave you some points. I read them real quick. And real quick, Chris is going to give me a real run through here. We all have a course of life. I don't care what you think. You may think you're aimlessly wandering around. Any teenagers here? Raise your hand if you're a teenager. You feel like you're aimlessly wandering around? I think you are too. But here's the thing. I believe a course of life, the Holy Spirit desires to orient us. And by the way, we're glad to have Zach back with us today from A&M. We had a bad Saturday, but everything's going to be all right this morning. All right, so I sing that many times after the game. So, but the Holy Spirit reveals our misdirection. And every one of us needs to understand that there is misdirection in our life, that we never stop getting reoriented with this compass that is the Holy Spirit who's coming and guiding us and directing us. The day you think you got it and you're dead on it is the day you start wandering off course. You're always pulling that compass out, that compass being in relationship with the Father, sitting there, and the Holy Spirit's guiding and directing us, saying, you're on the right course. Take a smidge that way. Let's go there. The other is we all have a guiding passion, and the Holy Spirit reveals our misdirection. Is that what we got there? I think we got. So we all have a guiding passion. The Holy Spirit reveals our misdirection. Give me the next one if you kill. I think we have relationships and experiences define us. in our life, but the Holy Spirit illuminates our identity in a Christ-centered community, meaning this here, that's why we get in the church, that's why we get in the community, because most of us feel defined by our past and also the way people remember us, but the Christ-centered community comes in and says, you know what, I see that on you. And I'm going to help direct you in that way. Go ahead, next one. Blind spots in our worldview. And that's why I really hooked up last week. I won't preach it again, but that's what I mean. What is blind spots in our worldview? We see things a certain way because we've been raised a certain way. We have these shades on. We even read the Bible with these shades on because some preacher we heard years ago preached it a certain way, and that's the way we're standing with it today. And are we just... I heard, anybody ever seen that? It's a very, anybody ever seen Talladega Nights? Yeah. Rated R. All right. So you knew that. But the point is, I just love it when for those who didn't see it, I'm sorry, don't go see it. I'm not recommending it. I love it, but don't, I'm recommending it. But in that, at one point, he yells to his father and says, I've lived my life by this, that you know, you're either winning or you're either first or you're last. And his dad looks at him and says, that's stupid. He goes, yeah, but you said that. He goes, well, I was drunk when I said that. He said, well, I lived my whole life with those words. Well, that's stupid. You can be second. You can be third or fourth. Many of us have drunk daddy words in us. All right. I'll leave it at that. And Macy? Don't raise your hand when I say that. There you go. That's fantastic. So there you go. So as we see that, we realize this here, that the Holy Spirit comes and enlightens us to a truer understanding of life that he has for us. Meaning that there's things we hear that aren't necessarily untrue sometimes. There's the untrue ones. And we always pray to break off those words that were curses and things that were said against us. But some of us just have, we're going to California, basically, and this isn't my picture. It's an old theologian's, but I think it was Barth. He said, we're going to California, and we see this sign that says California, and we come up, and we unpack our wagons, and we build a town, and here comes the next wagon train, and we go, where are you going? We're going to California. Well, this is California right here. No, that's the sign pointing towards California, and you guys made a town around it and built your life around it. Many times, the Holy Spirit's taking us on a journey, and we stop, this is it, baby. No, it's not. It's a part, for me, he hooked me as a musician to bring me to a place where I met people who in the community, I'll never forget John Wimber saying, when are you going to give up the rock and roll thing and start preaching like you're called to? This music thing just got you here so you could hear what your calling is. Now you go out and preach. And I came to Conroe and I'm ready for the next segment. And he says, this is your next segment. Yeah, I'm listening. Stay and live life. It's more than just going to one thing and next. It's digging your roots in deep and loving. And loving when it hurts. Loving when someone doesn't love you back. That's not the word I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that I was going on tour with Whitesnake or something. I don't know. I just said. That is a band, isn't it? I don't know. I would rather be in Al Green's band. Thank you very much. So thank you. All right. So I'm just trying to be, I'm trying to contextualize to you young kids, but you don't know Whitesnake, do you? All right. That's it. I don't even know how to get there. I'm worse than Brian. Keep calm and what was it? And or pray on. I can't remember what was it. we're struggling. Yeah, and when you said, we can't remember what you told us on Sunday, I'm thinking, you can't remember five words. How are you going to remember? But here we go. I loved it, though. Fantastic. So as we go, let's move on. Let's keep calm and move on. All right, here we go. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask that you move here, that as we take these last steps through this story of Paul, of Saul, that you speak to our hearts, that you've spoke to us in many myriad of ways. Come and be very pointed in our hearts as individuals and speak to us as a community. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. In Jesus' name, amen. It says Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And this is after he got the scales off his eyes, Dave. He's ready to roll. He's ready to go suffer for Jesus, you know. So he, remember, this is a guy saved, Beverly, by a greater light. Did God come in and said, I think you're awesome, but let me tweak something here because you're going the wrong way? At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And I want us to look at this real quick, because the first thing they said to Saul was, you know, why don't you sit over here and let's deal with your murderous sins. Let's do a class about how you need to confess your murderous sins. Maybe we need to take 3 months about your murderous sins. Immediately, this guy is moved into mission. And that's the way the church used to work, that immediately you moved into mission in that conversion period of your life. And I'm not saying everyone preaches on a stage. I'm just saying that this guy hit it running because a greater light, remember, the passions of his life have just been turned around. And he's as passionate now, or more, about this Jesus Christ than he was in killing those who believed in Jesus Christ. And I love that. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And those who heard him were astonished, and they asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc? I like that word, havoc. In Jerusalem, among those who call on his name, meaning, isn't he the one who was killing everybody? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. So one of the things that I want to put here as we look at this very thing is that these people, first of all, going, is he a spy? Is this a setup to get us near so he can capture us, to get us to show ourselves? So Saul doesn't really have things on his side real good. I don't think any of us would have went out to hear him preach. We would all said, uh-uh, you ain't drawing me out, man. I'm keeping my little home group over here. So he goes out. Who's he speaking to? He's not speaking to the believers. He's speaking to the Jews that are there, those who are walking with the Jewish faith, who are holding the line. He's baffling them. These are learned people who are being baffled as the Holy Spirit is giving him unction. A very trained and learned man, by the way. Unfortunately, a little bit different than our fishermen who had come before. This guy has this background and understanding of the Word of God and philosophy. If you looked at his life, born in Tarsus, he would have got in Tarsus, that center of learning there. He would have been immersed in all that culture. He would have been immersed in the culture of Jerusalem and understand the Pharisaical culture. And now here he is with all these cultures, being a Roman citizen, fit for the day to be the man that goes out with this message. His experiences have set him on track to be who God's called him to be. And I'm speaking that to your own life today as well. So he's baffling them. And I want us to know, we all have a past reputation, but the Holy Spirit wants us to experience a conversion of destiny. And again, I know I'm hitting, slightly tweaking some things for us. That without transformation, salvation is suspect. Yes. Not only did God want him to quit killing Christians, that would have been enough. And I'll tell you what, if that's all God would have wanted, he would have killed him on the road to Damascus. And if that's all God wanted you to do, was to quit destroying your community, quit destroying your family, he'd have killed you. But he's saving you to something. He's not just saving us from something. Then maybe you've come out of prison, and it's our hope that you don't go back to prison, but even more, that you would become a leader in the community of God. That there's this conversion of destiny of my life. Not just to be someone, I'll never forget when, man, I came back and I said, I'm ready to serve God after that barroom conversion where I'm sitting in a bar there in Humble. Who drinks in Humble, for crying out loud? But that's where I was at. And sorry, you don't get that joke, do you, Ian? That's okay. But the Lord just comes and says to me, this is what he says to me. I'm sitting and says, are you happy? He didn't come up and say, you're no good dog, because that's already what I thought he thought of me. He said, are you happy? He talked to the telos, the joy, the design of my life. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, somebody's buying your drinks tonight, and the prettiest girl in the bar is trying to pick you up. Sorry, guys, I'm not trying to take us somewhere. And I said, no, I'm not happy. He says, this is as good as this life gets right here. Is this going to be enough to sustain you? And I said, no. He said, get up. This was his words to me. Walk out of this bar, and I will fulfill the call of your life. And I got up and said, let's go, baby. Because I knew I was called to something more. I just didn't think he would have me. I thought we were done. I thought I'd done enough damage that I was written off. And you've thought the same thing. And I'm saying to you today, that's a lie. It's a lie. And not all of us are Paul. And not all of us are the Honorable Reverend Sleepy Ray, praise God. But we all are, in this sense, being called to the greater of our life. A greater light is shining. I'm talking about the way we relate with the Father and what we're expecting out of salvation. Because what we're expecting is just to quit drinking. Well, there's a start. But there's a whole lot of other things going to be going on. A whole lot more goes from just stopping doing bad things. It's coming on to being called to the conversion of my destiny. This there. So Romans 8:30, and I read from the Voice, and I think Christina Aguilera is on this Bible, but as for those he chose beforehand, he called them to a different destiny so that they would experience what it means to be made right with God and share in his glory. Right in the sense that my sins are covered, sure, but more than just my sins are covered. Right, meaning that I'm living in the way he's called me, that there's a design in my life. And I'm not saying that he's got it and there's one way to it, and if you take this job here today, you lose it. The sense of this call, where am I going? What do you want? As I sit with a young man in Mexico, this has been about 2 or 3 years ago, he came up, he spoke perfect English, and he said, I want you to pray for me for direction in my life. Now, I've shared this story, so I will share it again. And as I went, I was ready. I do a lot of prophetic ministry down there. And you really will hear the Lord. If you lean in, you'll hear the Lord saying things. But the Lord said to me, just ask him questions. So I said to him, instead of telling him what the Lord wanted him to do, I said, well, what do you want to do? What are your options? What are you doing? He said, well, I just graduated from college. With my master's, and I want to know if I need to go back and get my doctorate, or should I travel the world? These were his options. Wow, great options. They're both great. But I asked him, what are you getting a degree for? And he said, be a businessman. I said, do you like business? He said, no, I do not. I said, what do you love in your life? What's the one thing you've ever done in your life that just burned in you and just drove you and gave you excitement? He said, helping people. I love helping people. I just love being there to answer questions and help them get plugged in and these kind of things. And when they're going through problems, to help them talk through their problems. I said, but yet you never thought of being a counselor. He said, well, they don't make any money. I said, so your design, your call, your desire for life is just to make money. He said, well, yeah, I like nice things. I like nice cars and nice clothes. I said, so are you willing to give your life for that? How much money can I give you today to buy your life and the call of your life? Now, by the time he was done crying and confessing and all these other things, I thought, I hope I never meet his parents because I just screwed this poor guy's life up. So I went after church and went over and had dinner with this family. And he comes out. It was his family. And I just thought, I felt horrible. But I felt great. The point is getting that call and that destiny. He wasn't going into sin. He was going to go make a lot of money for his family. He paid a lot of money for him to go to school. All I was saying is, don't give your life away so cheaply. Follow as the Holy Spirit comes in this here. In this case here, a conversion of destiny was in place, not just to restore a past reputation, but to have a conversion of destiny. Are you with me today? I was told not to preach too much on one point as I did last week, so I won't. You got that there, Shayla? You with me? All right, good. She gives me the call. Okay. Matthew 5, I want us to see something. God's glory, here's God's glory too. You're the light of the world, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. We sing about it for those who got it here a little early. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. This is a destiny call for us as a community and for individuals. In the same way, we let our light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Meaning that God isn't just got a call for everyone to be missionaries, preachers, and clinical workers, medical workers, medical missionaries. But the point is, my life fits in the my destiny fits into the glory of God in the sense that my light shines. And I will tell you when my light shines, when I'm walking in what He's called me to. I am a pastor, if you didn't know that. And so this is a very wonderful job, and I love it because it's more than a job. It's a call. But at times, it's very, very painful and very hurtful. And what sustains me is this is my call. And at times, that's all I go back to is I know this is my call. And a couple of you reminding me that versus the ones reminding me that maybe it's not. So in that, in our life, get hold of me, Lord. From those with a Pentecostal background, you say, put a hook in my jaw and pull me to you in that way. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan, and day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. They want to kill this guy. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. He's already got some followers. Those who are with him. And these probably would be those who were new converts, maybe Christians who joined him. Those who wanted to kill him aren't the Christians. They are probably the Jews, which are being baffled, who don't like what he's doing because he's a traitor to them now. And when he came to Jerusalem, by the way, he gets lowered down. Can you imagine a basket in Damascus? They lower him down in the night, and he escapes. I want you to see how he's going to be killed, but God provides followers, those alongside, to help him out of that predicament. And when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples in Jerusalem. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But this guy Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and the Lord had spoken to him. And how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. I wanted us to look at these two things and understand something. He has come and had a blinding light conversion. This guy's preaching and baffling people, but he is not being accepted. And many times in our life, when the Spirit comes on us and there's a call and there's a riches, not everyone sees that. They see who we were. That's all they can see. They live in fear of who we were. And getting, now, not fear that you're going to kill them, but fear that you're going to screw up their church. Fear that you're going to hurt people. Fear that you're going to mess up. You get where I'm at? Understand this is normal. But what I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's normal. I think all of us struggle with sometimes and thinking, do they even see what God's put in me? I don't know if this is the place where they're ever going to see who I am. Maybe I'm in the wrong spot. Maybe I'm in this place that you know, no one wants me. And I want to say the Holy Spirit comes and begins to move in a way that He provides someone to let you down in the basket. And I'm speaking metaphorically now. That one person, that small group, maybe it's two friends, one friend who comes and says, I see it on you. Maybe it's that one person that provides a favor, a leader who comes along, meaning a leader in the sense that someone who is able to pull, as Barnabas was, to pull you up and say, This gal's a different person. I've seen it on her. I've seen it on him. I've seen it on her. So Saul stayed with them. He moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews. Remember, those are the ones that killed Stephen, for those who've been with us. But they tried to kill him. The very people he stood with while they killed Stephen now want to kill him. And when the believers learned of this, the believers now, before it was followers, second time it was an encourager, Barnabas, which means that encourager. Now it's the believers. And they took him to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Now, I want to talk about Caesarea real quick because we'll be talking about that later in Acts. And Caesarea is a place that the Holy Spirit really just begins to move and things all ignite in that place. It's where Paul eventually will be sent out of. All this, these little things that are in this one chapter are over a span of years, okay? This isn't as quickly as all that either. I want us to see when we're in link with the Lord that sometimes things don't happen fast, but He is coming. And I want us to see when we have times of doubt and difficulty, the Holy Spirit shines. This is a role that shines upon us with favor, acceptance, and encouragement. Others may be looking at our past. I'll never forget when I said, I feel called to preach, and my friend said, you just need to try to show up to church and ask Him if you can sweep. I know your life. I know for me, the moment that I came out of that bar and gave my life and said, I'm ready to go, Lord, it was within days that I showed up in Anaheim and there had prophetic words spoken over me in a group of 3,500 people, hands laid on me, and within weeks was prophesying over people, something I didn't even believe in, and laying hands on people, seeing them healed, something I didn't even believe in. And it wasn't because I think I was some big special person, because I don't think I am. I think I just said, yes, I've got no other choice. I was like Saul in the sense, I've got nowhere else to go. The past won't take me back. And I'm here and I'm ready to go. And I had people very jealous and very mad at me because now all of a sudden I was doing things they had always wanted to do. And why the favor came, I don't know. But some of it was because I just said yes and I stood up and I naively stood in there. Who knows these things? But I want to say to you, favor, acceptance, and encouragement. I want to speak that over you today. And some of you, even as myself goes through this, struggle so much in the rejected part of our life. And have reason to, because people have rejected us and said things to us. Let me get that there. And they've affirmed something the enemy's saying. They haven't affirmed what God is saying. The Lord said this to Moses. He said, tell Aaron and his sons. He's talking about how to bless the Israelites. He told them how to bless the Israelites. That's what he said. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. And I'm not just reading that. That is my blessing as your pastor on your life. And I will say it again, and I want you to receive it, if you will. And some of you, if you want to turn your hands up and say, that's what I want, I just want you to hear this again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Would you stand with me now? Even as we move forward as a body, our existence as a church and our health as a church is always dependent upon each of us beginning to walk in that call and not pulling back, but walking in this encouragement. At this time that our greatest need is pastoring. So shall we put another pastor on staff, you say? How about we pastor? How about each one of us quit living in this thing that I'm not good enough? Everyone knows my past. I've got nothing here. And we step up and say, I think I can pastor. I can be there for you. I can love you. I can call you. I can do these things. That when I'm calling you out of that place where you walk in a destiny of rejection, even as I call my own self out of that. I'm too young. I'm too old. I've been too bad. I'm not smart enough. I'm too smart. That's Brian Benita. Even as Brian and Alana prepare to go to Kingwood and get started, they're already underway. We're losing pastors. We understand life goes through changes. It's difficult. And sometimes people have to step out. They have to earn a living. They have to do things. They don't have the time they once had. Will you step in? Will you see yourself as more than just a newcomer? Will you see yourself as someone who stands in this place and says, I've been converted to a change of destiny, not just a change of forgiveness of sins. I'm being called to walk in a way that's different. Sure, but that difference isn't just not doing bad things. It's being called into the city on a hill, shining that light, giving out even things I didn't think I had. And as I put that call on you at the end of this conversion series, as it were, I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to ask before the ministry team comes down, I'm just going to pray over you. And I'm going to ask you to come down for those who say, man, that's, you know, I absolutely am grinding in this area of difficulty. I'm grinding as Saul was grinding. I need a basket. I need an encourager. I need the believers to come around me. And I ask you to come forward. I'm going to pray over all of us, but I'm asking you to come down because the enemy is grinding on you. It's not the Lord. The enemy is grinding on you and trying to shut down what God's call is going on there. Please come down and let's receive what he has for us all. Let's understand. It means a lot to step forward and say, that's what I feel called to. Because people look at us and go, you? I'll never forget when I was going to plant a church, some people from my former church, it wasn't Carol, and it might have been Roy, but it wasn't Carol. Wasn't Roy either. Said, you're going to plant a church? And they laughed. I can't see that. And Dylan and I said, I can't see it either. I just know it's the call. So it better become Holy Spirit now, baby. Is there more? Is there more? I'm saying yes. And I'm not asking you to give up your day job. I'm not asking you to do all these other things. I'm just saying where I'm at, I will extend myself beyond what I think I've got and say, yes, use me, Lord, in this way. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And those who've stood forward and come forward, it's for all of us, Lord. But for those who walked forward right now, I say, would you come and begin to repair and to move and talk to and begin to refocus and begin to call out that destiny of life. To come and, yes, to correct those things that's always the misdirection of passion. But I'm asking you to also come and break off rejection and its power to make us flee and to make us give up. As the body of Christ, we say yes. Breathe on them, Lord. We know their past. We know these things. We know. But we're saying yes. We believe you can take a murderous villain and turning him into the greatest missionary the world has ever known. So we know you can take those who say yes and reorient their destiny and the call. So come, Holy Spirit, now. And as you come, Heavenly Father, I just ask that you just impart more, Lord. More, Lord. All the things in your ears right now, they're saying, well, I wish I could get over this. I wish I could get over that. Yeah, amen. More, Lord. More. More, Lord. Passion of the pastor. The passion of that one who says yes. I will move in that way. Come, Lord. More. Guys, I'm not trying to make a show for you here, but as a community, this is what we do. Because this is very difficult to step forward in front of a community and be judged according to who people see us for. More of that. And ministry team, you may come forward and begin to lay hands that are there. And as they do, I'm going to pray over all of us, because I'm saying to you today, for each of us, no matter where we are in our life, I want that relational character of someone who walks in the gospel of acceptance to be set free within you, the one that you realize that Jesus Christ has come to permeate your life in a way that moves beyond just correcting your sinful attitudes and bringing you into the correction and call of your life that is this sweet and real. And it's always both. So come, Holy Spirit, now. Break off of the thing of us, the things that keep us from becoming all that you called us to be. And provide for us, Lord God, those things of relationship. Those things of relationship that come and move in at the right time. The basket that lowers us over the wall. The encourager who comes and speaks to us face to face and puts an arm around us. Send them, Heavenly Father, and raise them up here. And for that body, the type of church that comes around those who are believers and encourages and doesn't discourage, but encourages. And has words of encouragement, not just things to say of correction, but things that absolutely call out the great design and telos of our hearts. More, Lord. To be a community that shines the light is a community that begins to shine it within itself. That the good news and the words of your people are espoused from one to the other. And I pray for healing in our body today. Healing from the things that absolutely have weighed us down. And I want to, real quick, as we're getting prayer here, say that some of us have seen our faith with Jesus Christ as just treading water trying to get to God. And you're treading water and you're waiting for Jesus to come back because it's getting exhausting treading water. And sin is like weights that you drop, little fishing weights you drop in your pocket. They're not that bad until you get a bunch of them. And you're just trying to keep those weights out of your pockets because they're weighing you down and you're going underwater. And I just want to say right now, the Lord says, you're not treading water. I've got my arms under you. And the sin is hurting you and weighing you down. And I want to remove that from you, but I want to give you something more than just trying to tread water till I come back. I want you in the real relationship. This is a quality, one that draws you in and you sense my presence because I've given you a greater light. Come to me and let me show it to you. Let me give you discernment. Let me walk you out of the wilderness, out of exile, into the kingdom life. And as we receive ministry down here, and I'm going to release you, if you feel that call, you've never come to know Jesus Christ, this is that day to know the one who says, I am the light of the world. Give us a chance to pray with you. Give us a chance to watch as the Holy Spirit comes and illuminates the shadows of your mind. And if you're here and you're in pain, we always are open for the healing power. I ask him to move now, even as we saw healing last week in some of the shoulders, that he's moving in your and the knees and hips and body and liver and these areas and bringing healing in your life, because it's our desire to see that. And my last prayer is that he is setting free those gifts inside of you. Once again, that prophetic gift, that call that hearkens out and calls out the glory of the kingdom. And I bless you again. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.